You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was ESPN's Sal Palantonio reporting that the Browns are among the quarterback needy teams who visited with Blake Bortles prior to his workout and are checking him out, of course, during his workout, which is happening shortly, happening while we are on the air with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here with Nathan Zagura. We want to tell you to shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns team shop. Maybe get an Andrew Hawkins jersey or Carlos Dansby jersey. Is there a Blake Bortles jersey in the army? Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Very happy to have with us now someone who has covered this Browns team for a little bit for the Akron Beacon Journal. Does a great job of that. And a regular on this show, he is Nate Ulrich. Nate, first of all, welcome. How you doing?
Hello. How's it going?
All right, man. Your thoughts, first of all, on the signing of Andrew Hawkins and the fact that this team has addressed a key receiver need while still leaving the door, of course, very much open. I heard a few people say, well, does this mean they don't have any interest now in Sammy Watkins? And I said, no. We're talking about
two different positions.
This is a slot guy, but a dynamic slot guy from all indications, Nate.
Yeah, it does a couple things. The move weakens, a division rival in the Bengals. It gives you that, like you said, that dire need for a slot receiver. It satisfies that. And, obviously they still need a number two receiver, to pair with Josh Gordon. But, they needed at least two receivers, and they got one. And I think that, this draft class is touted as such a deep class in terms of receiver that they're really looking at the draft to get that number two guy. Now, whether that's Sammy Watkins at four or, a number of receivers later in the first round, second round, maybe even third round, we'll have to see. But the bottom line is, if this wide receiver class is as good as advertised, I think the Browns put themselves in a really good spot by getting Hawkins to fill a slot and then addressing that number two spot in the draft.
Yeah, this draft certainly is rich with talent at wide receiver as you go down from Watkins to Mike Evans to Odell Beckham to Brandon Cooks, Marquise Lee, Kelvin Benjamin, and then the middle round guys. You can go on and on. Dante Moncrief, Martavius Bryant. There's tons of these guys in this draft. It's probably the deepest position in the entire draft, and the Browns will have an opportunity to add to it. Let me ask you this. We talked about you just put a report on Twitter. One of the things everybody agrees is they still need to address the offensive line and specifically probably that right guard spot. The team reportedly worked out Clemson offensive lineman Brandon Thomas. What do you know about that?
Well, just that, here we are, the first week of free agency has passed, and I thought that they might go after a guard in free agency, but as we know, they haven't. So with 10 picks in the draft, there's no doubt in my mind that they think that they can get a starting caliber right guard in the draft, and it doesn't have to be a really, early pick. You see a lot of good teams with good offensive lines get those guys in the middle rounds, and this guy's intriguing from Clemson. Tony Pauline, I want to give him credit from draftinsider.net, who has a lot of good info this time of year leading up to the draft about workouts and visits and pro days. He reported that the Browns conducted an individual workout with Brandon Thomas of Clemson. And the interesting thing about him is, he played left tackle the past couple seasons for Clemson. He played guard and tackle earlier in his career for Clemson. So he's got some versatility, but he's 6'3", like 320-ish, so a lot of, draft analysts think he's definitely going to be asked to move to guard in the NFL, and actually he was asked to move to guard during the Senior Bowl, so scouts could get a look at him there. So, he's just a name. He's a guy who kind of represents the idea that the Browns are going to look to fill that void in the draft. But, he obviously, the fact that he had a workout with him, he could be a potential target. So keep an eye out for him. And I think that it's not out of the question that they want to address tackle too. So maybe his versatility makes him even more attractive because they could, you know, maybe try him a couple different places. But I won't be surprised at all if they find a starting guard or at least a guy to compete. You know, put him in the mix with Pinkston, Jason Pinkston, Derek Gilkey, and see who wins that job in training camp.
We heard Sal Palantonio say that the Browns have met with Blake Bortles. We haven't heard any such reports as it relates to Teddy Bridgewater, who has already had his pro day, or, of course, to Johnny Manziel. What do you make of that and the Browns' interest in quarterback? And right now, what's your sense of their desire? Is it to take a quarterback at number four or to wait at that position and get one later on in the draft?
Yeah, I think it's definitely fluctuated. I mean, just from the sense I get, of course, you know, they're doing a good job, I think, if they want to keep people on their toes and guessing about, you know, how interested are they in these guys. I kind of think that, you know, the more and more this goes on, I'm starting to lean toward, you know, they're not really interested in one of the big three guys as a no-brainer at number four if one of them's available, and that they might look to get somebody later in the draft, whether it's a 26 or, you know, maybe second round, 35. So, you know, of course, anything could happen. They could pick one of those guys. But, you know, they've had kind of a strange, unconventional approach when you consider they didn't interview any of the quarterbacks at the combine. And I know the thinking behind that is they want to do it during the pre-draft visits. But, you know, I just think if you really are definitely going to be committed to taking a quarterback with a top five pick, that you want every opportunity and every encounter possible to try to gather as many impressions from your staff, as much information, even if it is one of those 15-minute interviews at the combine that they feel are, you know, often rushed and rehearsed. So all that kind of makes me think that, you know, maybe it isn't quarterback or bust for this team this year.
We're visiting with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. So, Nate, as you look at where this team is now with six free agents signed, adding pretty much a player at each of the need spots, the key need spots, but we know there are more to go. How do you see the rest of free agency playing out? And in terms of the priority of these needs, do you see free agency addressing any more of them, or will there be much more emphasis now on what they're going to take in the draft?
I think the emphasis is on the draft now, but they can definitely add a couple guys leading up to it for sure. And I think, you know, we're talking about quarterback, and it will be really interesting to see what happens on the veteran quarterback front, whether, you know, Matt Schaub is released or whatever happens with him. I think a trade is unlikely unless he restructures his deal, obviously, because it's a huge number. But, you know, Rex Grossman's out there, and the talk hasn't died about the Browns, you know, being interested in Matt Schaub, and you know, Rex Grossman obviously maybe is a backup option just to get a guy in here, you know, at least in Grossman's case, who's still familiar with that, you know, system that Kyle Shanahan runs. And in Schaub's case, a guy who could legitimately compete with Brian Hoyer for a starting job. So if that plays out here leading up to the draft, then I think, you know, especially with Schaub, then I think that that points to them not picking a quarterback at number four, that, you know, that they want to go quarterback at bust with their first pick. So that's the main thing I'm looking at right now. But yeah, they could pick up some other guys. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to add, you know, a cornerback, maybe somebody in the, you know, defensive front seven still. But I think, you know, guard, I think wide receiver, those needs that are still out there, I think they might look to the draft for those.
Yeah, I agree with you that those are the needs that remain for the Browns. So given that you think they may be moving off of a quarterback at number four, given that wide receiver is a big need, and we know Sammy Watkins is out of there right now, do you think that's the direction that this team goes?
Well, you know, I haven't put together my first mock draft like you guys have, so I'm still kind of waiting on that. But, yeah, I mean, he could definitely be a possibility there. I think that if I put one together today, I probably would go Watkins, and then maybe a quarterback later. The thing is, I think, you know, if they do like Derek Carr, which, you know, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network was very strong coming out of the combine, and you know that's very early, and there are plenty of smoke screens, and I get all that. But
he also, just so you know, Nate, he said on Browns Daily about that, because we had him on and asked him. He said that that was, in his estimation, that was all from the old regime, the Banner and Lombardi regime. So he backed off of that link to Derek Carr with Ray Farmer.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't realize that. But anyway, I still think that you know, the Derek Carr, the thought of getting Derek Carr again, he's more of a representation of an idea of getting somebody later. At least in my mind, if you know, he's not the specific guy, I think that you can go Sammy Watkins at four if you're not going quarterback or bust at that pick, and then you can look later. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. If it's a guy, you know, at 26 or a guy at 35. And then you bring him along and see what you know, what he can do, and obviously see how Hoyer can bounce back from the injury.
Nate, what's been your take on how these players who have been added to the Browns have been kind of discussing being part of what they're a part of? We hear these celebratory press conferences all the time. They got a lot of money. They're happy. They're thrilled. It's the most money they've all each gets in his lifetime, generally, in these circumstances. But there just seems to be a pattern of engagement, connection with this team that I haven't really noticed before among as many players joining the team. Have you picked up on the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of enthusiasm from the guys, and Ben Tate was great. I mean, on Twitter, he was just he became an instant fan favorite. I mean, he endeared himself to everyone in Northeast Ohio immediately, and you know, obviously with Dante Whitner coming back, you know, to his hometown of Cleveland, that was a big deal. But you know, Andrew Hawkins coming full circle, you know, he had a tryout with the Browns, a rookie minicamp appearance in 2008 that didn't work out, and one thing led to another slowly but surely, and he's back. So there are a lot of those kind of connections that make for good stories. And I think that they look around, the guys who have signed look around and say, okay, you know, Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, they have, you know, they've been active. They've signed six guys. A lot of them are you know, good players on paper throughout their career. And this is a sign that they're committed and trying to win. So I get all that. My thing with free agency, and I told you guys this a couple weeks ago before it started, I'm skeptical until I see those guys out on the field. How are they going to fit in with their new team, the new teammates, the guys around them, the new scheme? You know, on paper, I like a lot of the moves, but yep, we've got to see, because free agency, you know, it's such a gamble in so many ways, just because, you know, the transitions are not seamless in football many times.
It is true. It is not like fantasy football where you just assemble the best roster. You got to get everybody working together in concert. And for a team that's had a lot of change, fortunately, these coaches were the ones who got to pick these guys to come in to their scheme. Nate, appreciate you stopping by with us and look forward to chatting with you again in the near future. We are 50 days away from one of the most important drafts in the history of the Cleveland Browns organization, and look forward to getting your thoughts as we get closer.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal with us. Coming back, we do want to hear from you. We've already gotten tremendous feedback on Twitter. We want to hear from you now on the phones. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Which quarterback do you want right now? And we're going to give you the choice of Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and we'll say at number four, or do you go with an other? And let us know who that other is. You're blowing it up on Twitter. Interesting responses. Now we want to hear from you live on air from Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford Returns on ESPN Cleveland. Sleep without me, that's why I said.